Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Tvajyanunam Mahatam Gatim Gurum Trailokya Kantim Rishimam Mahotsavam Rupam Tadanam Siya Ipsitap Padam Dakshe Mamasan Ushasa Siddharjanai. Today I shall certainly see him, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksun Mulutam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantitam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaiva Cha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Sri Vasudevor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. It's still quite warm here in Vrindavan. A t-shirt is fine during the day. Even right now, it's just so pleasant. And it's kind of a quiet time before people come during the Christmas holidays and after the Kartik and the retreats. It's really a time to relish the residents here, very special people that actually live for substantial parts of the year for Vrindavan. You can really mark them here because there's really no, very, it's kind of not the time where there's visitors. Either come before or after. I mean, there's visitors, but it's wonderful. Even Giriyan Swami, who's here, was telling me that
goes to Prabhupada's room in the morning to chant. And he was just very presently surprised. He said all the days that he goes there, I'm looking for something, 1 second. All the days that he goes there, he said he chants for the whole japa period, an hour and a half. He didn't see one time anyone interrupting their japa for talking. So I think in all the places of ISKCON, I think you won't find a place with as many serious people. Anyway, it can be contested, of course. But I was looking for my cough drops. Somehow I can't find them. excuse me. Well, I certainly feel that way. There's just such good association and so many nice people that live here. So now we're at a Kura's prayers, and they're kind of significant prayers because they're the mood of entering into Vrindavan and the mood of actually, as he will have, having darshan of Krishna. And the mood is the aspiration. Bhakti is based on your aspiration. An intense aspiration is called lobha, or greed. And Rupa Goswami has that verse, that if there's one singular qualification for Krishna consciousness, it's the intense desire for it. So the intense desire is manifest in kirtan and prayers. That's when, because when there's something in the heart, it needs to be expressed. It really needs to be expressed. Expressing it gives relief to that desire, and at the same time, it intensifies that desire. So you want to go to the holy land of Vrindavan and follow the prayers of the Kura, the intense aspiration to see the lotus feet of Krishna, to get the darshan of Krishna. And that's what the practice of bhakti is. Sadhana bhakti begins with aspiration. Sadhana is for bhava, that's a goal. All practices begin with a goal. A goal is our aspiration. And we increase our aspiration by the process of chanting and hearing, which just invokes the sentiments in our heart. Kirtaniya Sadahari. We should always be chanting. We should chant as much as we can, even if not on beads. When we're not doing anything else, any other duty, any other responsibility, we should be chanting. And if we do that, we'll get the results of bhakti. We'll get the goal of our aspirations, which is to have deeper aspirations, which is to have a certain sentiment that is the pleasure of Krishna, because the pleasure of Krishna is the love in our hearts. And chanting and hearing, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, that's the water for the bhakti rasa kripa, the kripa of devotion. That's what makes it grow. Of course, in humble service, we had in the temple, it was really wonderful. We celebrated the disappearance day of His Grace, Vibhu Chaitanya, who was the famous saint that served in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. He only left the property once. And over 30 years that he was here, he only left it once. He had so much faith in Radha Shyam Sundar that he even got upset if people brought him Jagannath Prasad. He said, "Why are you bringing me Jagannath Prasad? I have Radha Shyam Sundar Prasad. You think they are different?" And he didn't chant a prescribed amount of rounds on beads. He didn't have to. He was always chanting. When someone came to Papa Poop, and when someone came to him and said, "Why aren't you chanting on beads?" He said, "The mouth is for chanting, the hands are for serving." So it was so nice that, you know, I've been in this community for 37 or 38 years, and to be with the people that have been there at least over
25, 30 years. It's a real community of people who share a very, very deep experience of growing up in Vrindavan. A long time to spend with a certain group of people. And it's wonderful when they glorify one of our spiritual comrades who is a pure devotee. And his only faith was service. He had no attraction to anything else. And even in his last days, when I went in his room, and the doctor showed me, you know, the doctor takes notes of the final instructions of someone, what he wants to do with his life before the person is unable to communicate. And he wrote two things, three things. I don't want any medicine, don't take me out of Vrindavan, and I don't want any service. He did not want any service anymore. And I thought that's such his faith. He didn't want to be the center. He wanted to serve the center. He really didn't have any taste. And every one of us, we're trying to move towards the center. In one way or another. To actually see someone of that caliber, to humble Vaishnava, and to appreciate it, it's also the way we advance. Because when we appreciate something, we take on the qualities of that which we appreciate. His appreciation is a desire, and it's appreciation of another desire. So when you appreciate a particular mood or desire, it comes into your heart. So it's so important on these days to glorify the Vaishnavas. It's so edifying for one's spiritual life. So these are the aspirations of Akura, and they show his singular faith, and that's what you need. Buddhisayatnika buhe aka kurinanda. The devotee has one goal. And that's Krishna. Of course, with the Sayatnika Buddha, aka Kurunandana, as opposed to Bahu Shakaya Mantista, the unlimited many branch of those who don't have that resolute faith, determination, unflinching faith in the sublimity of Krishna consciousness and serving Krishna. Of course, that also means the desires and missions of Krishna, the words of Krishna as they're spoken by our spiritual guardians, our gurus, our teachers. And to take those words, Prabhupada said, is one's life and soul. That makes one a kantika bhakti, a single-minded devotee. So, he's excited. I will see him. And he's explaining why he's excited. He's the goal. He's the goal. Krishna is the goal. God is the goal. To attain God, to attain truth, to attain reality. That's the goal of an honest man. And it's the goal, and it's the spiritual master of the great souls, because God is the spiritual master, because it's his desire, it's his shakti that's being carried by those who represent him, which are great souls. So he is the master, the spiritual master. He is the guru, the guide. And seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, because the greatest beauty is God. He is the true beauty of the universe. He's indeed his personal form, his rupa, is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. This is a significant point. Why are the dawns of his life becoming auspicious? Because when you actually come to Krishna consciousness, when you come to God consciousness, when you come to God consciousness, it's the fruition, it's the purpose of life. And therefore, the days that brought you to that goal have meaning. Otherwise, they don't have meaning. Palad Maharaj, when he was only 5, prayed, Kumara Achade Pragyo. Those who are Kumara Achade Pragyo, those who are intelligent, Dharman Bhagavitanya, they worship God. Yulupam Manasam Janma, this human form of life, is dulabham. It's very difficult to attain. There's so many living entities. There's so few human beings. But artadam, tadartadam, aduvam, although it's temporary, it has great value. Because the human form of life is the platform of free will where you can choose to worship God. So today he's coming to that conclusion, the fruition of that worship, which is the darshan of God. And therefore he said, on this day, now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. Because they were steps towards God and his devotional service. So it's so beautiful, the intensity, the exclusivity, the devotion of Akura's prayers. Atar Valutha Sapadishayo Ratat Vadana Pun Sosh Charanam Solabdaye Vyadritam Yogi Bir Apyaham Dhruvam Namasyavayam Cha Shakim Vanaukasha. Then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Theirs are the same feet that great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. I will also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and all the other residents of Vrindavan. Because while yogis are striving for self-realization and they attain a vision of the Lord's lotus feet in their minds, the cowherd boys are seeing those feet every day. So he's appreciating. He's appreciating the spiritual attainment of those who have relationship with Krishna. In bhakti, the attainment is a certain consciousness. It's love. When we become perfect, we have love. We have love for God. Prasmin Parama Prema Rup. The Parama Prema Rup, the form of the highest love, is to God, which includes everything. And that love which excludes things is also excluding love of God.
So the fruition of consciousness, the perfection of consciousness, is intense, overwhelming love. And love manifests in relationship. And that's the perfection. The perfection is you have a relationship with God as his friend, as his parent, as his lover, according to your proclivity or nature. That, so this is actually, we're describing that by his aspirations, that which is in his heart manifests before him by God's mercy to fulfill that desire. So he's so excited. Apyangrimule patitasya me vibhu shirasya dasyam nijahasta pankajam tathabhayam kala ujangaram hasha purvejitanam sharanaisinam ninam. And when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. So the analogy is the serpent of time, the black serpent of time. Because the image of time is that in time, we will, this present identity will be taken from us. By who? By the serpent of time. So these designations we have, in Sanskrit called upadis, they're the source of our fear because they're temporary. But because we identify them as the self, we feel a certain fear of annihilation that's threatening, because it's not only all our attachments that are going, but ourself we feel is going. And even if we're devotees, to the extent we're not realized, we also have these fears. But the fear is due to an illusion. Death is the illusion of non-existence. It's an illusion that we die. But to the extent that we don't realize our real self is to the extent that we'll suffer fear. And therefore, liberation is defined as muktir hidva yata rupam surupena vivastita. It's giving up the false designation and accepting the real designation. And what's the real designation? The real designation is relationship to God. So unless you have that connection to God, then there's going to be fear of the serpent of time, fear of non-existence. So Akura is so much appreciating that when he falls at the lotus feet of the Lord, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand on my head. And that's significant. Because those who have fear, if they get that connection from God, there's no fear. I had my own personal experience. I've discussed it several times, sometimes where it was a very difficult time of my life. And I took shelter of the holy name of the Lord. And I kind of sensed that the activity of glorification and chanting God's name was the activity of my real self. And I felt this relief that, yes, who I am, the chanter of Hare Krishna, the servant of God, is eternal and it continues beyond this body. And the extent that the activities are based on the false conception
of life, the ego, I am separate from God, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, manifest in so many designations that we have right now. The extent that we identify with them is the extent that we'll be filled with fear. It says the connection with God removes that fear. Because that connection with God is the nature of the real self. And it's the eternal self. It's not a false identity. It's Sarupena. It's your own group. It really belongs to you. It's something intrinsic within you to be the servant of God. So it's your essence. It cannot be taken away. So the more you reinforce that by acting on that platform, to that extent, you'll become free from fear, as says in the Bhagavatam. If you want to be fearless at the time of death, then chant, hear, and remember Krishna. Because that's the nature of the self. It reveals the self. It situates one in the self. And when you have that realization, then death just becomes a change of body, not the end of existence. Heno svin yatade he komana yoga nam jara tatade antarapriya yiras tatira muyate. As the embodied soul passes from childhood and boyhood to youth to old age, simply in time of death, they accept another nature. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. So when you realize the self, to realize the self, you have to act on the platform of the self. And therefore, by chanting and hearing constantly, and constantly acting on the platform of the real you, you become free from anxiety, fear. So this is his aspirations. He's envisioning what will actually happen. Samahanam yatra nahaya koshikat Tata balischapa jagatye vidam yava vihare vajayoshitam samam vashena shogandika gandhyapanudat. By offering charity to that lotus hand, Purandara and Bali earned the status of Indra, king of heaven. And during the pleasure pastimes of the Ratha dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. So it's not ordinary, darshan of God. It's not ordinary when his lotus hand is on your head. And this is the bhakta. He may be attaining something, but he's in no illusion how inconceivably great that is. So he says, the hand will be on my head. But he's humble because he realizes how great that is. The infallible Lord will not consider me an enemy, even though Kamsa has sent me here as his messenger. After all, the omniscient Lord is the actual knower of the field of the material body and his perfect vision. And with his perfect vision, he witnesses, both externally and internally, all the endeavors of the conditioned soul's heart. So he was somehow sent by Kamsa as his messenger to get Krishna and Balaram. But he has faith in Krishna and Balaram.
And he knows he's not putting them in danger. He knows that, and he's going to get darshan. So one trusts, if one does something sincerely, God knows our heart. And that's the most important thing, because we can bluff people. We can do so many things, even if the name of devotion, for egotistical purposes. But a devotee knows that you cannot cheat God. It's not that you can hide in your room and do something, and there's no witness. God is omniscient, and it's perfect vision. He sees everything you're doing externally and internally. And to do something thinking no one knows is actually a kind of low-level consciousness. It's a type of atheism. I don't know if it's atheism, but it's an ignorance of God. It's a denial of what God needs. He's seeing everything. So one who is sincere, that will be known to God. And who is sincere will be known to God. Who is insincere will be known to God. Apyam gumule vahitam kritanjalim mamikshita sasmitam u ardaya drusha sapadyapa dvasta samasta kyubhisho Bodha mudam vitta vishanka ujitam. Thus he will cast his smiling, affectionate glance upon me as I remain fixed with joined hands, fallen in obeisances at his feet. And all my contamination will at once be dispelled, and I will give up doubts and feel the most intense bliss. So, Shiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, when he describes a particular stage where you transcend the false ego, vidya, what is it? Vidya vidyate grantis, when the knot in the heart is cut. And then evam prasana manaso bhagavad bhakti yogita. No, evam prasana manaso. I got that verse. And then you become alive and you actually see God. You actually experience God. And interesting, Jiva Goswami makes the commentary that before that time that you actually have that sakshat darshan, slight doubt may remain in your mind. May not be predominating. Your predominant consciousness may be your experience of God and your faith in God, but there may be a slight doubt, two doubts. Is it true, and can I achieve it? So, Vidyayudhyan Grantas, by bhakti, asamsayat samagrama yataga, all misgivings, all doubts go. Prajaksham bhagaman dharman. Because bhakti is directly experienced by the practitioner. And eventually, not only bhakti experienced, but God is experienced. So he's saying, when I have this exchange with him and the affectionate glances, and I mean fixed with palm hands because he's in the mood of service, and he's fallen in obeisance at his feet, with that wonderful bhava and spirit, I am inferior. You are greater than me. That's what obeisances means. And he's feeling that surge of consciousness, of feeling God's mercy in the humble mood. Then at that time, all contaminations are gone. All doubts are gone. And mudam, you'll find very intense happiness.
because that's the nature of the soul. What is ignorance? Ignorance is when the pure, eternal, blissful soul identifies with the temporary suffering, an impure body. So when you have this experience of God, then there's the most intense bliss, because it's the nature of the soul to be blissful. Our Nitya Dharma is bhakti, and bhakti is love. Love is happiness, and it's a supreme love. It's a supreme happiness. But somehow or others, our essence has been covered. Just like water, the essence of water is liquidity, and sometimes it becomes ice. So its nature is covered, although it's potentially there. And then by certain conditions, the ice can also now become liquid. So in the same way, we are eternally servants of God, but somehow or other, in certain conditions, that service to God has been transformed into some kind of lust-fulfilled, selfish conception of love. Something impure. But it's there, and it just needs the right association with devotion and devotees and with Nam to bring out, to kind of melt the ice and bring out the quality of water. So to melt our hearts, which is so contaminated with ego, and to come to that point that Akura is of having a relationship with God of love, which means serving the desires of God. And love means that is your happiness, not your own service. Your happiness is serving the center, not being in the center. And when you surrender to the will of God, as that voice is manifest through the shastras, through the guru, through the heart, and we actually surrender to that, then that awakens up our personal relationship with Krishna. Recognizing me as an intimate friend and relative, Krishna will embrace me with his mighty arms, instantly sanctifying my body and diminishing to nil all my material bondage, which is due to fruit of activities. Fruit of activities means what? It means doing things to become superior in enjoyment, in position. You're doing things for that reason. That's fruit of activity. But when you have a relationship with Krishna, which means you've accepted, you've given up envy, and therefore you've embraced the attitude not of fruit of activities, but devotional activities, because that's your real desire, then all material bondage is finished. This material bondage only comes because God is fulfilling our desire to be independent. And so when you surrender to God, in other words, our consciousness of wanting to be the enjoyer and the controller reflects the soul on a particular karmic arrangement of matter to fulfill that desire. So the cause is not wanting to surrender to God, not wanting to serve God. So when you surrender to God, then you reverse the cause of bondage. cause of bondage is our own desire. I want to be the enjoyer and controller. I don't want to surrender to anything higher than myself. That's the cause of bondage. Bhakti is antithetical to that, and it begins with surrender. So when one is achieving that relationship with Krishna, we're free from the modes because we no longer have the desire for them. Having been embraced by the all-famous Lord Krishna, I will humbly stand before him with bowed head and joined palms, and he will address me, my dear Akura. At that very moment, my life's purpose will be fulfilled. Indeed, the life of anyone whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead fails to recognize is simply pitiful. Anyway, I have to stop here because, again, it's night, and sometimes you get a little fatigued here in India. Would anyone like to ask any questions, please?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Gail here.
Hi, Bro. Hi, Bro, Gail.
Hi, Bro Maharaj. Yes, of course, it's really another really nice class. I do have this question of this confidence that Akura had that he would definitely meet Krishna. I mean, why was it not? There's a few points where I'm wondering why it wasn't like presumptuous of him to think that, for one, he would definitely meet Krishna, since Krishna's independent. He, you know, you never know what Krishna is going to do. You know, you can't say. And the other thing is that since he was going to get Krishna and Balaram on Akura's order, you know, he in his heart he felt love for Krishna, but how could he be, since he was going on that mission, how could he have absolute certainty about his own sincerity? So these two things mainly I'm asking.
Okay. You know, because I'm so tired, I already forgot the first question.
Oh, yeah. How could Akura be certain that Krishna would meet him when Krishna is independent?
Well, first of all, he's Krishna's devotee. So there's some reciprocation in the heart. Also, he's in the lila, or the pastime. Krishna is a person, and he's a person who's in the kingdom of Kamsa, and Kamsa has given the order that he wants everyone, and Krishna and Balaram, to come, and he's been designated with that mission. So, of course, he has confidence. He somehow or other has been given the mission to go see Krishna. And the second question you asked was
about his sincerity. How could, since he was going on the order of Kamsa, how come he was so confident about his own sincerity?
Because he knew his heart. You know when you know what reasons you're doing things for.
Well, that's the thing, you don't always feel so sure.
Okay, well, not always, but often. There's just some times where you know why you're doing it. And you know when it's insincere. And you know that I'm very sincere in doing this. I'm really trying. I really want to please Krishna. So one can see his own heart. It's part of Krishna consciousness. And also, Akura is not a Brijbasi. He understands Krishna's position. So he's praying deeply in his heart, and he's praying sincerely. He knows that he doesn't think he's great, but he knows that this is what he wants. And even it's said when a devotee prays, even if he humbly understands that to attain Krishna is beyond his effort, he can't possibly achieve God by his own effort because he has so much faith in the greatness of God. But one of the qualities of God is his mercy. So the devotee often thinks, yes, I will achieve God. Not that I'm qualified, but that God is merciful. And he's seeing my pitiful condition. He's seeing my abject desire. Certainly he will respond. That's just the glorification of Krishna and his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a small question, Maharaj. You know, wonderful that, you know, I'm listening from your mouth about akras, you know, prayers and everything. But in my mind, you know, at the end, you know, why Akrura with the Simantaka jewel, he acted like that? He's a, such a pure devotee.
You know, I'm forgetting what the exact story is, so I'd have to review it, but I remember he did something wrong, and that was a reaction. Sometimes we get reactions that purify us. I remember it had something to do with his previous life or something that he did, but in the same sense, when you're in Krishna's lila, right, when you're actually in Krishna's lila, then it's something very special. It's, for example, Arjuna falls into ignorance, right? And he does fall into ignorance. But it's not ordinary ignorance, because his ignorance, the questions he raises, are part of the eternal Bhagavad Gita. So it's described that to have these kind of positions in Krishna's lila, where sometimes someone's required to fall into ignorance like Arjuna, so that the Bhagavad Gita will be manifest. So what kind of wonderful service is that type of falling into ignorance? So within Krishna's lila, sometimes to serve the lila, devotees have to take roles that no one else can take, of doing something wrong or falling into. But it's not under the external potency, it's under the internal potency.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo. I spoke to this very, very nice brahmachari, really nice person. Speaks nice English, cultured person. So he'll arrange that morning to take your group to the fields, and I'll arrange to that person that you can get the Vrijvasi rupees.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
So I'm figuring I'm going to just, he just sent me his email. I'll just put you directly in contact with this person. But on that day, you should be ready at 11 o'clock to leave. And
perfect.
They'll have, you know, it depends. I'll ask you if you want a full meal or just, a roti or two, or the person will do whatever you guys want. But I'll write all that information.
Thank
okay.
you so much.
Thank you,
Maharaj. We'll miss you terribly, but so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say hello? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Malone.
Malone, we will also be seeing you in India soon, too, so that's great. Hare Bo.
Sir. Hare Bo.
Wonderful. The retreat is real. I just saw the list. So many nice people are coming. Like yourself and others like you. It's really kind of a real nice group. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, who is that?
That's Gordon, Maharaj.
Who is it?
Gordon.
Say it again. Oh, hey, Gordon. Haribo.
Haribo.
Wow. Great to hear you on again. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Gordon.
I think I heard Mother.
Okay. I heard Mother Indrani.
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you for the class. Thank you so much.
I love your voice of gratitude. So sincere. Thank you. Anybody else want to say hello? Seems like not everyone is able to mute and unmute. Okay, well, thank you all. We'll see you again soon. Vanchakopa Tarubya Shakasindu Bhagacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.